Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the nation's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. No, I am Doug McBurney, being given the honor today of sitting in for Bob Enyart while he has gone to the mountain. You see, the mountain could not come to him. So he has gone to the mountain, and that's all I'm authorized to say. But Bob will be back. When will Bob be back? Maybe the 4th of July? No, I'll be here on the 4th of July. Bob will be back on the 5th of July. I am holding down the fort for the Independence Day weekend. And, you know, I would have expected a slow, kind of hazy, lazy day here on the 3rd of July. The day in between a weekend and a federal holiday when most people just don't go to work. And so you would think that it would be a slow news day and everything would be nice and mellow and easy. But it's not. It's a busy day here on the 3rd of July. In fact, I've got to do an update. By the way, did I say my name was Doug McBurney? I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. And you can listen to my podcast from yesterday. I do it every Sunday. I mean, at least every Sunday that I'm inclined to do it. See, I don't get paid to do it. So if I got paid to do it, I would do it every Sunday. But I don't get paid to do it, so some Sundays I take off. Yesterday, I did not take off. Did the podcast yesterday. It's up there for all the world to see at theweeklyworldview.com, and you can check it out because I am going to do an update on a story that I did on the podcast last night. And this is one of the reasons I'm saying that this is a much busier news day than I would have anticipated here on the day before Independence Day, because we have an update on the story of young Charlie Gard in the United Kingdom. If you're not familiar with the story, and if you did not listen to my podcast from Sunday, well, shame on you. You should have listened already. But if you haven't, I'll update you on the story. Charlie Gard is 10 months old, and he has been sentenced to death by the British National Health Service and the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. They have ordered that the child be killed. Now, that sounds shocking, right? Maybe if I give you the details, maybe it won't be so shocking. Could it be any less shocking if I gave you the details that the Supreme Court and the National Health Service have ordered that a 10-month-old baby be killed over the protestations of the child's parents? The parents don't want to kill the child, but the state is ordering that the child shall be killed. Charlie was born with a rare genetic condition, a mitochondrial deficiency that causes him not to be able to breathe or to move on his own. So he is on life support. And as long as Charlie is given food and water, Charlie is alive. The prognosis is not good for Charlie. Charlie is probably going to die young because of this condition. It's a tragic story for the parents, for the whole family. Not so bad for little Charlie, actually. I mean, I'm sure it's not pleasant, but if Charlie passes from the scene, he will go from here on to eternity, and he'll get to meet Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, and he'll get to have a relationship with him and grow up in heaven instead of here on a fallen and bitterly divided and disgusting, corrupt, vile, filthy, fallen earth. And normally I like earth, okay? I'm not like anti-earth. I'm not anti-life. But this story reminds me of the filth and corruption and the wickedness in this present age. Anyway, let me get back to this. So Charlie has a disease, and the hospital ordered life support to be removed. And so the parents started a GoFundMe page because they heard about an experimental therapy here in the United States. And so they raised almost $2 million to take Charlie out of the British National Health Service, out of the hospital, and take him, well, wherever they want to take him, right? They're his parents. And if they have the wherewithal, I think they should be allowed to take their child anywhere the child needs to go. Especially given the prognosis. The prognosis now is rather dire. And so they raised the money to take young Charlie for an experimental treatment here in the United States, but the hospital said no. You cannot take the child. We've already decided to kill the child. So the parents filed a lawsuit, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, and the Supreme Court sided with the hospital and said the child must die. Not only must the child die, the parents are not even allowed to take the child home to die. The hospital must kill this child, as ordered by the hospital administration, the National Health Service, and the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. Well, I did that story yesterday. Horrifying story. Make your blood boil kind of story. Well, this morning, The Hill magazine, which is a wretched Republican rag that pretends to be conservative, The Hill magazine is reporting that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is now offering help to this critically ill British child, young Charlie Gard. And well, let's just get to this, okay? Now, Gard's case, according to The Hill report, has created an international uproar and sparked debate over whether the government should be able to mandate death with dignity. Death with dignity, I said, over a family's wishes to seek out experimental medication for their sick child. So death with dignity. The NHS says that the child is to die with dignity. Now, I don't know how many of you people have seen somebody die. There's no dignity involved at all. It's the most undignified position that a human being ever finds himself in is to die. It's completely undignified. So the idea of death with dignity, well, it's not even logical. There is no such thing as dignity in death. And it's even more indignant when the state and the hospital are the ones doing the killing of an innocent person, which is what's going to happen here. Now, the Vatican has weighed in, and now Donald Trump has weighed in. And so has Donald Trump offered to help young Charlie Gard? No, he has not. In fact, I'm not sure what should. So you've already got the position of the government of the United Kingdom. The position of the government and the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom is that Charlie must die. Not Charlie Manson. No, he should live. No, Charlie Gard. Charlie Gard, a 10-month-old innocent young boy born with a tragic disease, he must die. That is the position of the government, the National Health Service, and the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom. That is their position. So you got that? The position of the parents is we would like to take our child out of the hospital to try to save his life. Or could we just take him home so that we can be with him when he dies? That's the position of the parents. So should I give you the position of the Vatican? Let's get the Vatican as weighed in. Here's what the Pope said. No, not the Pope, the Vatican. What's that? The Pope doesn't want to take credit for this statement? Well, the Vatican has weighed in, and here's what they said. We must do what advances the health of the patient, but we must also accept the limits of medicine and avoid aggressive medical procedures that are disproportionate to any expected results or excessively burdensome to the patient or the family. That was homily style. So do you hear what they're saying? Did you get what the Vatican just said? We must also accept the limits of medicine and avoid aggressive medical procedures that are disproportionate to any expected results. And the Vatican continues, likewise, the wishes of parents must be heard and respected, but they too must be helped to understand the unique difficulty of their situation and not be left to face their painful decision alone. Catholics are so ridiculous. It's probably the most ludicrous, ridiculous, stupid version of Christianity that I've ever stumbled across, and I've stumbled across some pretty stupid people, even Christians. But Catholicism is the worst, the most corrupt, the biggest, fattest, most corrupt religion on the planet is the Catholic Church. And they've become so wicked now that they're not even able to side with the parents that they should be able to do what they want to do to try to save their son's life. Not the Vatican can't even get this right anymore. I've got a quote from, let's see, nobody took credit for that quote there at the Vatican. They just stamped on there, the Vatican. Because nobody wanted to actually get up and take questions on this subject. The Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia. Now, he actually, I'll give Archbishop credit. At least he put his name on his statement. He says if the relationship between doctor and patient is interfered with, everything becomes more difficult with the accompanying risk of ideological or political manipulation. All right, Archie. I mean, I appreciate that you put your name on it, but I have no idea what you just said and how that relates to anything having anything at all to do with anything to do with this story. What you said was basically meaningless. You didn't say that the child has a right to life and we should do whatever is within our means to save the child's life. If the parents have raised a couple of $1 million, they should be allowed to spend that money trying to save their son's life. And it really doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with their treatment options. The priority is don't kill the innocent. That's the priority for the parents and for the culture at large. Don't kill the innocent should be the simple priority of the Vatican, but they're not able to prioritize that anymore. Oh, anyway, The Hill reports that conservatives are questioning why the Vatican did not prioritize the life of the child over the decision of the state. Note to conservatives, the Vatican is full of evil, wicked, child-molesting perverts. That's why. They have other priorities. They have other things on their plate rather than the sanctity of human life and their obligation to prevent the laity from becoming murderers. They have other things going on there at the Vatican. What with the socialism and the pedophilia and all that. I'm particularly upset with the Catholic Church over this. I don't want to offend any of my Catholic brethren, but the leadership of your organization should be cast into outer darkness just over this story alone. Now, let me get to Donald Trump, who The Hill. Now, I don't read The Hill magazine. I'm sure I do from time to time, but I'm not a subscriber. I don't have The Hill in my bookmarks on my browser. I don't check it daily. I assume that they are Trump shills. That's what I assume. Well, I assume they're one of the two. They're either part of the Never Trumpers or they're part of the Trump Can Do No Wrongers. That's what there seems to be in the Republican Party. The Republican Party being, we can put that right up next to the big fat Vatican as one of the most corrupt organizations operating in the world today is the Republican Party, right up there with the Vatican, and then beneath them would be the Democrats, because at least we've always known where the Democrats were coming from. Look, they're evil, and they're right up front with the fact that they're evil. But the Republicans and the Catholic Church, they're another thing altogether, and I detest them. So let's get to Donald Trump now. And if you've listened to me for any reasonable amount of time, or Bob Enyart here on Bob Enyart Live, since I'm sitting in, I hope I haven't said anything that could offend Bob. You know that we're not big Donald Trump fans. Now, we do like to give Donald Trump credit where credit is due. And I'm trying to think of the last time we found opportunity to do that. And nothing's jumping out at me. Anyway, but we will, trust me, when Donald Trump deserves to be congratulated and given credit for doing right, we will be the first ones to stand up and proclaim that he has done right. And I'm searching my memory bank still, trying to think if I'm hoping we've already done that at least once. I mean, he's been the president for, 5 or 6 months now? Anyway, nothing jumps out at me. If anyone in the audience could remind me of a time when either Bob or I came on the air and congratulated Donald Trump for doing right, wasn't there one thing that he did with the terrorists or something, maybe? No? Not that I can recall, but we will have our crack research staff research whether Donald Trump has done anything right or good since he's been president. And if we have not credited him, we shall do so. Now, here is Donald Trump's tweet that was touted by The Hill magazine as Trump offers help. Okay, that's the headline. Now, most people, I don't know if you've noticed this in your daily life, but most people are pretty stupid. This is just an observation I've made. And most of them I don't want to hang out with, and I'm sure you feel the same way. So headlines can be deceptive and deceiving to the average stupid person out there, which is most people. And so they read this headline and they think, oh, yeah, I heard that story about that baby that the British National Health Service, they want him to die. Look, Trump has offered help. Rah, rah, Trump is awesome. And they go on with their daily lives and whatever they do to contribute to society. I'm sure they're all wonderful people. They're just not that bright. And so they read this and they think Donald Trump has offered to help. Well, here's what Trump tweeted. He tweeted, quote, "If we can help little Charlie Gard, as per our friends in the UK and the Pope, we would be delighted to do so," unquote. So in his tweet, the first word Trump used was if, not helpful. The second thing he did was he made reference to little Charlie Gard, which we appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to give Donald Trump credit for bringing Charlie Gard to the attention of more people. There, I've given Donald Trump credit where credit is due for doing something good. Just the fact that he tweeted about this is helpful. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Chalk one up for Donald Trump. So he made reference to Charlie Gard. But then he references our friends in the UK. Don, our friends in the UK have ordered that this child must be killed. Are they really our friends? Do you have to refer to them as our friends in this context when they've decided that this child must be killed, Mr. Trump? I don't know. I think he's more careful with his words than people think. I don't think he just shoots from the hip, and I think that he's a little more calculated than people might imagine. And so I don't appreciate the fact that he called the United Kingdom, the government in this context, our friends. And then he mentions the Pope. And the Pope just threw Charlie under the bus, basically. Although he wouldn't sign his name to it, it was just stamped Vatican. He references our friends and he references the people who want to kill Charlie and the cowardly church leaders who've abandoned Charlie and pretty much said, well, we need to understand, you know, the limits of, you know. And then, of course, Mr. Trump would be delighted to help, I suppose, if he can. So he hasn't offered any help. And he's sided with the UK and he's referenced the Pope who threw Charlie under the bus. And this is just another reason why I'm disappointed with the Donald Trump presidency. Actually, I'm not disappointed. I really never held out much hope that it would be all that good. But I do want to chastise The Hill magazine for misleading the average vacuous Republican into thinking that Donald Trump is somehow standing up for the right to life of Charlie Gard, because that's not what Donald Trump did. He barely qualifies as a civilized human being by at least mentioning the fact that there's some controversy around the fate of Charlie Gard. But Donald Trump has not offered any help. All right. So would I offer help? I would offer help. If they want to come to the United States for experimental therapy, the family can stay at my house free of charge. And we will feed them. And we would even be their drivers. We would drive them to wherever they need to be. See, that's offering help. Donald Trump, well, he couldn't announce it on Twitter. But I mean, he could send SEAL Team 6 into the hospital and take the kid. Now, that would be helpful. And if you're the president, forget tweeting platitudes. I mean, get in there and really help. All right. Anyway, we pray for the parents of Charlie Gardner. I really wish they'd get married. Nobody's allowed to point out that the parents aren't even married because it's Britain. I mean, the fact that one's a male and one's a female is somewhat of a novelty anymore. The fact that they've actually procreated and has a child, the fact that they have a child leaves them virtually impervious to any criticism of the fact that, they just never got married. Anyway, I'm just pointing that out because I still notice things like that. Yes, you're a wonderful human being that you married someone of the opposite sex and actually managed to have a child. Wow, I'm so impressed. Could you get married, please? You're a bad example to the youth of the world now. You're on the world stage, got no shame. Anyway, we pray mostly for Charlie, that when Charlie gets to heaven, well, see, Charlie's going to get to heaven before us, I think so, it looks like, because the government of the United Kingdom is going to kill the child. When Charlie gets to heaven, I pray that Charlie metes out justice to all those who wronged him upon the earth. That's what I pray for. And I hope he enjoys his time growing up in the presence of the living God rather than on this foul, bitter, divided earth. All right. Now, let's set that story aside for the real big news of the day. And I know you've all been waiting for this announcement with bated breath. And I don't think we have an exclusive on this. But, of course, we do want to be a part of the event. It's a global social event. Jay-Z's 13th album was released on Friday night. And do we have some tracks, or were we going to play some tracks? I'm looking at my board operator, and I'm wondering why he doesn't have any tracks from Jay-Z. I'm sorry, Jay-Z. I know Jay-Z. We're tight. We're bros. No. What do they call each other? Homies. We're homies, me and Jay-Z. Anyway, Jay-Z's 13th studio album was released on Friday night. And, of course, I spent the entire weekend just listening to it over and over and over. Not. I did not. Anyway, the reason... Jay-Z, by the way, for those of you who may not be familiar, he's a rapper who has more influence on the mindset of young Americans than anyone in the government. Anyone. He has more influence on the way teenagers behave than easily more than half of their parents have on any given day. Jay-Z does. He's an extremely influential figure in American culture, is what he is. Now, that alone is a signpost along the highway to hell for America, the fact that Jay-Z is an important cultural force. So just let that soak in for a second. Ouch. Yeah, that hurts. Does that hurt America? Yeah, well, you deserve it, buying this crack dealer's records. Now, I don't want to imply that Jay-Z has ever actually dealt crack. I just use that as a euphemism for all rappers. That's just one of my euphemisms, is I just refer to them as crack dealers because their music, to me, is a lot like crack. Yeah. It inspires misbehavior and unhealthy appetites. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, similar to what crack does. All right, so his album is out. And unfortunately, my crack research staff does not have any tracks that we can cut in and out. So to try to mollify the disappointment of our audience, I want to ameliorate that discomfort with the announcement on the third track of Jay-Z's new album. Is Jay-Z a guy or a girl? Do you know? We don't know. Maybe we're not even allowed to say. Well, one thing's for sure, Jay-Z is a human. That we know. And Jay-Z has a mother. And so we know how all that works, right? I mean, is there any debate now? Are we allowed to refer to childbearing as a female activity? Or is that sexist now? Or is that genderist? Are we not allowed to point out that human beings are typically birthed by a female mother? Or is that politically incorrect now? Maybe that'll be up for debate now that the whole bathroom thing is up and the gender fluidity. Anyway, Jay-Z's mom had come out on the third track of his album as a lesbian. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lesbian. Now, was she born that way? Well, she had Jay-Z, and we don't know if Jay-Z's a boy or a girl, but we know that Jay-Z is a human being. All right, so we don't have the tracks live, so I'll have to rap this myself, okay? This is from the third track of Jay-Z's album, where Jay-Z says, "Mama had four kids, but she's a lesbian. She had to pretend so long that she's a thespian. Had to hide in the closet so she medicate. Society's shame and the pain was too much to take." I could have been a rapper. Huh? I pulled that off. Did you guys get that? So he says his mother is a lesbian drug addict, and it's society's fault for shaming her. That's to put that in the vernacular of the educated rather than the shorthand of the ignorant rapper. My mother is a drug addict and a sexual pervert, and it's society's fault. That's the gist of it. GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Their president, Sarah Dyke Ellis, praised the announcement on Twitter. Sarah said, quote, "Lesbian women are all too often erased or excluded from narratives surrounding LGBTQ people. By sharing her truth with the world, Jay-Z's mom is increasing the visibility of lesbian women of color at a critical time." Thank you very much. That's lesbian president. I'm sorry. That's GLAAD. That's GLAAD president Sarah Dyke Ellis. No, I'm sorry. It's Sarah Kate Ellis. I apologize. In her praise of Jay-Z's mom. And the crack research staff is trying to find out right now if Jay-Z is a boy or a girl. Because unfortunately we don't have. Hey, here you go. We're almost out of time, right? We're running out of time. The show always goes so quickly. Before we run out of time, I want to thank Bob Enyart for giving me the honor of being able to sit in the prestigious right-wing chair here at the Bob Enyart Live Studios while Bob has gone to the mountain. And we will welcome Bob back on the 5th of July. I will be with you on the 4th of July, indeed. And maybe I'll bring that Jay-Z record, and we'll bump some cuts off of that one, dog. Meanwhile, Montel Whitaker is an Atlanta area rapper, and he was recently released from prison, shockingly enough. Whitaker, who goes by the stage name MDZ, he was performing during a welcome home party that his mother had thrown for him, and he invited all of his friends to the Hoops Bar and Grill there in the Atlanta area for a big welcome home party for Montel MDZ, the Atlanta area rapper. Now, he had been in prison, unfortunately, for cocaine possession and various probation violations. The event was heavily promoted on social media, and the police noticed. Deputies noticed all the promotions for the big concert. They showed up at the Hoops Bar and Grill for the Welcome Home from Prison Montel party. They immediately could smell marijuana from outside the bar. And they went in and they arrested about 24 people on active warrants as a hat tip to the rap culture. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in the Christian culture here at Bob Enyart Live. Please do right and risk the consequences.